AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Derek Dennis. Sex, drugs, and luxury living. Details of a new federal indictment against President Biden's son, Hunter, alleging he failed to pay more than $1.4 million to the IRS.
Those expenses include more than $600,000 in payments to various women, another $397,000 on clothing and accessories, and more than $180,000 on adult entertainment, including porn.
ABC's Pierre Thomas, Hunter Biden's lawyers say the charges are political. 3 months to the day since the war between Israel and Hamas began, and there's growing concern over images showing Israeli soldiers detaining civilian men in their underwear, kneeling them on the street blindfolded. That's on top of the 17,000 people killed in Gaza and counting, the UN Secretary General warning of a humanitarian catastrophe. And the nation's first gentleman, Doug Emhoff, lighting the national menorah on the White House lawn last night, saying he knows Jews are in pain because he's in pain, too, as America's first Jewish spouse. This is ABC News.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on. Eastern.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Universities of Wisconsin leaders are said to be close to a deal with Republican leaders of the state legislature to free up pay raises for UW employees. The deal would reportedly reclassify a third of the system's diversity, equity, and inclusion employees and put a three-year freeze on hiring more. The deal would also reportedly open the way for a new engineering building at UW-Madison. The Ice Age National Scenic Trail is officially part of the National Park Service. The trail stretches 1,200 miles from northwest Wisconsin down to the Madison area and up to Door County. It's long been administered by the Park Service with help from local organizations and the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Now it will get more federal money and have a place in the NPS's guidebooks. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Duluth will play host to a holiday-themed drone light show this weekend. According to a Northern News Now report, the North Shore Scenic Railroad will present a holiday drone show Friday and Saturday, lasting for just a few minutes while guests ride the train. The drones will reportedly tell the story of a young girl visiting her family on Christmas Eve, and the show should be visible to onlookers from the ground. Tickets can be purchased online for one of nine show times and range from $30 to $40. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has signed a bill into law to create an opt-in emergency contact feature through the Department of Transportation. According to a press release from State Senator Jesse James, the bill will allow Wisconsin residents to provide an emergency contact assigned to their driver's license or ID card, which will allow first responders to contact their friends or family more efficiently. The Department of Transportation was also given a six-month window to develop and implement the program. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WBZH News.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Badgers head west. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers basketball team will take on the number one ranked team in the country, the Arizona Wildcats, tomorrow at 2:15 in Tucson. Wisconsin now ranked 23rd after beating Marquette and Michigan State. The Badgers women's volleyball team now in the Elite Eight. Wisconsin with a win over Penn State 3-1. NBA, the Bucks are coming home after losing to the Pacers 128-119 in the in-season tournament. Giannis had 37 points and 10 rebounds. He talked about the tournament's format finally making it to America.
It was kind of strange when I came around here 10 years ago that the NBA wasn't doing that. It was only the championship. But I think just brings a lot of meaning, you know, to the games. And you play a game like this at 2 p.m. here, 4 p.m. Milwaukee. So it's around 10 p.m. in Greece. Like, if people stay up and watch the game.
That's the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Daytime highs approaching 44 today. Under overcast skies, southwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy tonight, 28. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Snow likely, 36. About an inch of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 41.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Hey, Calvin, what's going on, man?
Not much, Earl. It's a sunny Friday.
Yeah, it is Friday, man. You know, my co-host doesn't care whether it's Monday or Friday.
Every day is Saturday. I don't even consider this work. Every day is I decide what I want to do and then I do it. It's great.
Is that what retirement is?
Yeah, that's what it can be. If you're lucky enough, I have been blessed to be able to retire, and yeah, it's great.
How long have you been retired?
11 years.
11 years.
It's almost a career.
I don't even know how long I've been retired, because this, like you said, this is not work.
No. This is I look forward to this.
Yeah.
Although this morning there's no joy in Mudville, yeah. At least if you're a basketball fan of Mudville.
Well, I'll tell you, you and I love the Bucks, and
they got work to do.
Well, we should have had Calvin play taps before we started the show, because just having great individual talent does not make a great basketball team, right?
No, and in fact, I think the introduction of the European style of basketball that Doncic and these various Eastern European, in particular, basketball players have brought to the NBA demonstrate that. They aren't the greatest athletes. You know, you could take Doncic, and his athletic talent doesn't match some of the great athletes in the NBA. But is he one of the greatest basketball players? Yes. Because he knows what to do with the ball. He magnifies the ability of everyone else on the court. He gets lots of assists. You know, I think the Bucks would do well to spend their time trying to measure how many assists they can get in a game and not how many points.
So Sandy, there's no question that the ball can get to a point faster by passing it. I don't care how fast you can dribble.
Right.
But if you pass the ball,
exactly,
the guys can't catch up, and sooner or later, guys are going to get open shots. And the NBA has changed. There was a time, Sandy, when you and I were young, the scores were 65-50. Well, they played defense.
Then there were two styles. There was half-court basketball. It was rugged defense, and there was fast-break basketball. And teams were sort of one or the other, sometimes both. But defense was a big part of it. And, yeah, 100 points was a number to break rarely, not
right.
Frequently.
And, you know, athleticism, was not the call of the day back then. You didn't have to be a great athlete to play in the NBA back then.
Well, I think they were great athletes, but they didn't, you know, I think Michael Jordan was the first of the profound. I mean, Oscar Robertson was a great athlete. Some of these guys were Bob Cousy. Some of these guys were sort of magically good at stuff. But Michael Jordan was the beginning, I think, of the profoundly great athleticism taking hold. But then, unfortunately, the NBA, maybe it has to do with selling tickets, but they feel like they have to have marquee players, and the players that are marquee have to score lots of points to make the fans happy and to make the player happy. And personally, I'd rather have us count the team points and not the player points.
Well, you know, people like scoring.
Yeah.
Okay. It's, you know, and so it's the same thing with football. They've always tried to change it so, you know, it's easier for points to be scored.
You know, you are right about the point focus because I remember a great player. Well, he's in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the great players ever. Great spokesman for the game, Bill Russell. He never scored lots of points.
No.
He was just the world's best center, right?
Yeah, rebounding, defense.
Rebounding, defense. He was at passing. His teams won games always.
They don't sell out arenas to see pro games 76-75. And so, you're what they charge for seats. People want excitement. And that's kind of what they do. But I clearly think, man, there's something to be said for teamwork. And that whole team concept is always going to beat, you know, individual players. And because if you looked at the Bucks players individually, they've got just some great guys who can really score.
Well, they've got a couple, you know, they've got one now, but they've always usually had a couple that were on the all-defensive team, but we just aren't playing defense now.
No.
So, you know, there's something's got to – well.
Well, the other part of it is we're not playing defense because, a guy 28, 29, well, 30, 33 is going to have his hands full with a 20-year-old who can jump through the gym. And so most of these teams are loaded with young players. And the Bucks are still, what, the oldest team in the league?
Are we the oldest now?
Either the first or the second.
That's interesting because, you know, 8 years ago we were the youngest team.
Yeah.
When Giannis first came up and we had all the young players, I guess they've all just matured together.
Well, they won a championship, and Giannis demands a championship. And I tell you something. He said something after the game yesterday that just continued to let me know that I think he's the problem. He pointed out that the second team has got to play better. The guys who come in after us, they've got to play better. They're not playing well. How do you say that and think that you're going to have a team or chemistry when the guy points you out and he's taking all the shots and you come in and it's rare that you even get a shot, right? Because these guys are being selfish with the ball, and now you sit back, and that was one of the reasons why Portis was upset, is that he didn't get much playing time.
Right.
You know. And clearly they're better when he plays than when he doesn't play. And so they went to a smaller rotation. And that kind of cost them the game, I think.
Well, I don't, you know. We can talk forever about it, but I'm just hoping they get a grip on it and particularly get a grip on playing defense because, I think they've given up the most, they're near the top in the league in terms of how much their opposition scores. You know, they're near the top of the league of how much they're scoring, but, you know, in the championship, you don't count on scoring, you count on defense.
Well, they gave up another 128 points yesterday. The other part, and the last part of it, and the last thing I'll say about it is, Sandy, they're 20-some-odd games into the season. This is who they are. I don't think you can turn a switch and now they're going to play defense the rest of the season. This is who they are. And what we have right now, I think, is what we're going to get. But anyway, a lot of stuff to talk about this morning, man. I wanted to talk about you and I were talking about before we came on the air. Another 200,000 jobs created.
Yeah.
How is this happening? How is it still growing, and yet people are still not a part of it?
Well, I've read some interesting things over the week about our jobs, the state of the economy, and particularly the state of jobs, job growth, job friction, because we continue to have a couple of million jobs looking for people to work, and yet we have unemployed people looking for jobs. And we have underemployed people looking for better paying jobs, and they aren't finding each other, or they aren't capable of doing the job that is open to be done. And so the economists and everyone are sort of scratching their heads about how do we get a better matchup here? How do we help the people who are looking for these jobs find all these available jobs? Now, the number of available jobs is going down somewhat because the economy is cooling off some. But in the most recent report about the new jobs that are being created and the place where jobs are demanded, where the job deficiencies exist, which are the same places, it's an interesting commentary on our economy, because the biggest sector for job growth is the health industry. Okay, it's hospitals, it's the care industry, it's the sector that takes care of elderly Americans. And then the next biggest sector is basically the service industry, and we're talking about restaurants and that sort of service. And the sector that isn't growing at all rapidly is manufacturing. It's growing just a little bit. And then the finance sector is shrinking. And so the American economy, this is a reflection of the American economy. Over 18% of our GDP almost, it depends on the GDP growth each year, but in the 18 to 20% range of our GDP is the healthcare industry. So that's way different than what used to exist in 1970 when you and I were young, right, coming into the economy. I think when we talked about this, you had some really interesting job data reflecting the situation here in Wisconsin and in Milwaukee over the years.
You know, Sandy, when we come back, I'm going to mention what those are, because that probably is the same thing when we talk about the jobs that were available in the 1970s, it doesn't matter. You could go up to Rhinelander and it would be the same thing.
Yes.
Manufacturing.
Yeah.
Manufacturing.
Paper industry was dominant in Wisconsin. We were the biggest paper making state in the country, and the United States made more paper than anybody else. All across the state, we had unionized manufacturing jobs, and they were growing.
But Sandy, manufacturing, there's been all these, you know, Trump saying, I'm going to bring manufacturing back. Biden saying, we're going to bring they're not going to bring manufacturing back.
Well, the fact is that manufacturing has shrunk to the point that if you grew manufacturing by 10%, it's still not a big number.
Because technology is.
Well, technology. Now, the one good thing that's happening in the current world is the productivity of workers is going up. That means that the economy will need fewer workers. That's the case. But it also means that pay scales can go up. And part of this job data that was good was the fact that the most recent period showed a 4.1% salary gain as compared to an inflation rate that was down in the 3% range. So we've got real wage growth.
Don't touch that dial. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
Listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Auto Value has once again teamed up with Toys for Tots to help deliver hope to less fortunate children this Christmas. Now through December 15th, you can drop off a new unwrapped toy or cash donation at any participating Auto Value parts store. Your toy or cash donation will not only help Santa, but also allow one more child to experience the magic of Christmas. On behalf of everyone at Auto Value and the North Pole, we thank you.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique.
And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. Please have some snow and mistletoe and pray.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, you know, let me do this, because just for, you know, the sake of argument, in 1970 in Milwaukee, the top 10 largest employers, seven of them were manufacturing.
And as you go through them, we'll talk about which ones even exist today.
Alex Chalmers had 11,500 employees.
Yeah, they went bankrupt and went out of business in the 80s.
A. O. Smith had 8,000 employees. That's where I worked. Briggs & Stratton had 7,400. AC Electronics, AC Delco, we used to call it.
Yep.
Had 5,000.
Yeah, they're not here anymore.
Harness Vega had 4,500. American Motors.
Mm-hmm, not here anymore.
Had 4,500. Slits had 2,800.
Yeah, they're gone.
Pabst had 2,600.
Done, gone.
And Miller had 2,400. Now, what's important about those 10 is they all paid a livable wage.
Well, they were all unionized. And paying. And in fact, you had some data about that was comparing, I guess, black families' income, median income. But you know, the income in Milwaukee, in this manufacturing space of Milwaukee, I'm sure, as a relative to the rest of the country, I'm sure the median income in Milwaukee has gone down as the result of the loss of all of those jobs and the shift towards. What's the current makeup?
So we talked about those 10 jobs. Top 10 jobs were either manufacturing or brewing.
Brewing.
And in 2021, the 10 top jobs in Milwaukee, Advocate Aurora Healthcare, 29,000.
Yeah, that's twice as
employees.
That's twice as many as Alice Chalmers, the top employer, had.
Almost three times.
Well, 29,000. So 15,000 was what you read for. Alice Chalmers.
No, 11,500.
Oh yeah, almost three times.
Almost three times.
Yeah.
Freighted Healthcare, 13,000. Ascension Wisconsin, 11,000. Medical College of Wisconsin, 7,000. Children's Hospital, 6,000. So we've gone from manufacturing
to healthcare. Well, and like I've said repeatedly, our economy, one of the things that exposes both the brokenness of our healthcare system and the fact that our economy is sort of hollow is the fact that between 18 and 20% of the GDP, depending on the year, in the United States is expended on healthcare, which is, you know, it's an important service sector, but it's not a productive sector.
But Sandy, there went the middle class. When you took the industry out, the manufacturing, Those were all middle-class jobs where father worked, mother stayed home.
Yeah, yeah.
All of those companies that I mentioned, one breadwinner.
Yeah, one breadwinner got you to the median income in the country and got you the American dream.
With full benefits.
Yeah.
Vacations, insurance,
healthcare,
pensions,
yeah,
healthcare.
Right.
So now we're talking about Milwaukee here, Sandy, but it would be no different if we were talking about, you know, Rhinelander.
Right, Bayfield, La Crosse, absolutely. You know, La Crosse.
Oshkosh, Eau Claire.
Yeah, La Crosse had a big brewing center. It was a Heilman Brewing Company there. It was a big employer. It's not there anymore.
So let's be honest, Sandy. That sector of the middle class is gone. These healthcare facilities, although they employ people, they'll never replace.
Well, and here's the thing about those healthcare jobs. The jobs that don't require training don't pay well. Okay,
right.
So if you're in healthcare and you end up being someone who transports people from one place to another or cleans, operates on that side of the coin, you're not getting a middle class income at that point. And if you are going to earn well, like a nurse and the healthcare providers, that requires extensive training.
Right.
So it's not easy to plug anybody into these jobs when they become available, which is far different than these manufacturing jobs that we were talking about in the 70s, because, you know, it didn't require extensive training. You got trained on the job and the jobs were available to many people who stopped education at high school and moved directly into jobs.
You're talking about me. So Sandy, we're not going back, right?
Right.
So,
and the problem with the promises of Donald Trump or others that we're going to return to the United States to this manufacturing center, we'll return Wisconsin to being the hub of manufacturing that it was, is that that's not the way the world economy is built anymore. And with increased productivity, there is this promise that a differential in pay scale, that wages, higher wage countries are going to still be able to stay in manufacturing like they have in Germany, for instance.
Germany never gave up its manufacturing.
No, and they, because they continued to focus on highly specialized, high quality manufacturing as the premium. But when it becomes possible to make things with fewer workers anywhere, yes, the United States could continue to do manufacturing. But at that point, the global companies that are making things and selling them all over the world will put their manufacturing close to their marketplace. So as Apple just has announced, they're going to start making iPhones, not just in China, but in India. Okay, well, India, that, you know, we can say, well, they're doing it in India because of the availability of labor. Yeah, well, but their plants are highly automated. They're really doing it in India because India is a huge marketplace,
Sandy, how can I forget the big motorcycle, Harley-Davidson?
Harley-Davidson.
Harley-Davidson used to produce all their motorcycles in Milwaukee.
Right.
They built plants in China and other places, which is exactly what you're talking about.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, if you make everything in Milwaukee and ship it all over the world, you've got to bear those shipping costs, okay? And you've got to compete with manufacturers who are located closer to the market you're trying to capture. And so that became a problem. And when Brazil and Russia and other countries began to make the things that our heavy equipment manufacturers make, we ran into that kind of competition. And our manufacturers, the one who were able to keep their heads above water and stay in business, started locating their plants elsewhere.
844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Don't touch that dial.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
A new proposal would decriminalize having up to 14 grams of marijuana in Wisconsin. The bill would carry no jail time and drop fines to as low as $100. It would also give law enforcement more flexibility on a case-by-case basis. So far, the response among lawmakers is mixed. If unions win their lawsuit against Act 10, they hope it could help Wisconsin's teacher shortage. Teachers want to be able to collectively bargain, just like police and firefighter unions get to. Maddie Toff is a teaching assistant at the University of Wisconsin in Madison.
Having really strong education through academia as well as in public schools is really important for training the next generation, but also recruiting people.
The TA's union is one of the parties suing to get Act 10 overturned. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Law enforcement officials have determined the loud explosion that was heard on Wednesday in the Fredenburg Township was caused by illegal fireworks. According to the St. Louis County Sheriff's Office, authorities received multiple calls about a possible explosion around 8:30 on Wednesday night, with people reporting a flash of light followed by a loud boom. On Thursday afternoon, they received another call from a resident who found the source of the explosion, and authorities discovered the remains of the fireworks. Wisconsin Assembly Democrats released a statement on Thursday accusing Wisconsin Republicans of trying to trade diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives at the universities of Wisconsin for pay raises and construction projects. The statement comes the same week State Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu said a compromise to approve the pay raises was coming soon. Assembly Democrats argued that cutting DEI programs would have lasting negative effects on LGBTQ+ students and students of color. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WBZH News.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ+ veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Badgers head west. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers basketball team will take on the number one ranked team in the country, the Arizona Wildcats, tomorrow at 2:15 in Tucson. Wisconsin now ranked 23rd after beating Marquette and Michigan State. The Badgers women's volleyball team now in the Elite Eight. Wisconsin with a win over Penn State 3-1. NBA, the Bucks are coming home after losing to the Pacers 128-119 in the in-season tournament. Giannis had 37 points and 10 rebounds. He talked about the tournament's format finally making it to America.
It was kind of strange when I came around here 10 years ago that the NBA wasn't doing that. It was only the championship. But I think just brings a lot of meaning, you know, to the games. And you play a game like this at 2 p.m. 2 p.m. here, 4 p.m. Milwaukee. So it's around 10 p.m. in Greece. Like, if people stay up and watch the game.
That's the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Daytime highs approaching 44 today. Under overcast skies, southwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy tonight, 28. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Snow likely, 36. About an inch of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 41.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. UK.
It's all cold down along the beach. The wind's whipping down the boardwalk. Hey, man! What time? What? Oh, Christmas time. guys all been good and practicing real hard? Yeah. Clarence, you've been rehearsing real hard now. So Santa, bring you a new saxophone, right? Everybody out there been good or what? Oh, that's not many. You guys in trouble out here.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, some things are happening to the Republican Congress that it really is kind of putting them on a footing that may cost them their majority. What was the guy's name that they just...
George Santos
that they just got rid of.
So soon we forget. Well, maybe that was his name. We don't know. He was he said that was his name.
McCarthy throwing in the towel.
Yeah, and apparently if you're a Republican speaker, you quit because you realize that the world is...
Yeah, but he said he would never quit.
I know, and now he's quitting. He said he's not giving up the fight. He's going to stay in politics somehow. I suspect it's going to be staying in politics with more compensation.
Lobbyists
somehow.
Or something like that?
Well, I don't know. We'll find out. He gave a very strange sort of valedictory departure talk. But, yeah, he's gone.
So Matt Gaetz now, several Republican House members, many of whom are still angry at Gaetz for his antics that have impeded McCarthy and the majority of the Congress from passing legislation, have begun to discuss ongoing investigations by the House Ethics Committee in the wake of the exposure of embattled former Republican George Santos. We forget, but, you know, Matt Gaetz was clearly people were saying that he was involved in some molestation.
Yeah, it was some consorting with underage women. But, you know, wow. I mean, the Republican caucus seems to be involved with everything but the public interest, quite frankly. They have one shiny object after another, whether it's some internal problem, a personality problem within their caucus, or whether it's focusing on ad hominem issues. The impeachment of Joe Biden has been percolating sort of below the surface for all this time. They're now trying to bring it to the fore, I think, right on the eve of the campaign to see if they can't create some drama that will affect the election. But what we haven't seen is from the caucus an interest in solving America's problems. They seem to be interested in solving the partisan problems that involve basically the Republican drive to have power. You know, I mentioned this Dwight Eisenhower quote that had to do with if a party does not present policies that are aimed at solving America's problems, then it's just a conspiracy to seize power. And I would accuse the Republicans today of simply being involved with a conspiracy to seize power because they aren't presenting any sort of programs that solve problems. They're talking about things that they describe as problems, but they aren't Tom, Dick, and Mary's problems.
Do you think that based on especially some of the things that are being said here, many Republicans who want to see Gaetz drummed out of office, and if you just add the numbers up, what do they have? 3 or 4 member majority?
Yeah, I think after Santos leaves, they have a 4-vote leeway. If they lose 4 votes, they lose their majority on any particular matter. So that's pretty tight. I'd be surprised if they do it to Gaetz, because I think the members who voted to get rid of Santos talked about being reluctant to get rid of someone who hasn't been convicted, and so Gaetz has these allegations about him. But I think that that ethics investigation would have to uncover some pretty significant smoking guns to give them the basis for voting him out.
Look, he has the ire of many conservatives and Republicans because he's the reason McCarthy's gone.
Well, he is part of the Freedom Caucus, and all they have to do is have 5, 6, 7 Republicans stand by him, and they don't have the votes unless the Democrats joined in the vote, which who knows. But it takes, I think it takes 60%
right
to vote out. So I think I would agree that I don't think that's something that needs to be used very often because it could, you can see how it could be used and abused badly.
So let me ask you this. You mentioned Hunter Biden. Listen, I've said it from the onset. Hunter Biden has lived a charmed life, and so if he's done these things that clearly it looks like he's done, then he needs to suffer the consequences like any other.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, what I say is that, you know, there is now the Biden's family is saying, well, if he wasn't a Biden, this wouldn't be happening to him. Well, I think that people who volunteer for high public office have to understand that they're putting not only themselves but everyone who relates to them under a microscope, and they can expect to be treated microscopically with respect to the good deeds and the bad. And, the fact is that the allegations now, the allegations against Hunter Biden in this most recent indictment include a couple of million dollars of avoided taxes and an effort to defraud the government in the process by having fraudulent deductions, et cetera. So, you know, I think that the truth needs to be followed and it needs to be pursued, and it's important that all people be held to the law. And I think the Republicans who are cheering for the indictment and the pursuit of Hunter Biden have to understand that the flip side of that is not getting in the way of the pursuit and the indictment of Donald Trump, who's also a public figure.
Well, I don't understand, Sandy, why that's so difficult for people to understand. That should be elementary. You can't call for Hunter Biden and the Biden family, to pay the price, and at the same time say that it's a witch hunt on Donald Trump. I mean, it just makes no sense whatsoever. And even though there are people who are going to try to make it make sense, it does not. Hunter Biden should suffer the consequences. I don't have any inkling of doubt that Hunter Biden did some things, and then to hear people say, well, you know, he was addicted to drugs. That's no excuse. You break the law, whether you're addicted to drugs or not. The law doesn't say, Sandy, you know, you're a bastard. Well, doesn't say.
Well, the Wisconsin prisons are filled with people who have that same excuse,
right?
And many of those people had resided in the city of Milwaukee. There should not be a difference based on financial capacity to make an argument, right? I mean, if you have a fancy lawyer who can make an argument on your behalf with respect to drug addiction and the notion that that's a defense against crime, then we ought to present that same opportunity to the poverty-stricken folks who are drug addicted who commit crimes, because it all relates.
You know, that Hunter Biden laptop and all those things, put it on the table, get it worked out now before the election, and then the people who've been calling for that, you know, make sure it gets done. But then on the other side, same thing with Donald Trump. Well, they're interfering with the election, you know, as Donald Trump is saying. They're interfering with my opportunity to become president of the United States. What does that have to do with anything?
Well, and the other thing is that Donald Trump would like to make this out as if Joe Biden from the Oval Office is instructing prosecutors in Georgia, prosecutors all across the country who have brought all these different cases against Donald Trump, that this is a conspiracy witch hunt directed by the Bidens to obstruct and the election and to obstruct Donald Trump's ability to get elected. I mean, it's very far-fetched, but it's repeated all of the time. And as Donald Trump has said, which he learned, I think, from Goebbels, who was Hitler's propaganda minister, if you repeat something often enough, whether it's true or not, people will believe it. And Donald Trump obviously lives by that, okay? He repeats things. He's a marketing genius in this respect. Everyone gets a nickname, Crooked Joe Biden. You know, if you say that every time, whether or not Joe Biden is crooked or not, it begins to get implanted into people's mind that the word crooked matches up with Joe Biden. And if you talk about de sanctimonious, okay, now you've characterized someone and it sinks into their brain, whether it's true or not.
All right, let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. As I listened, you know, I won't get enough time to actually explain proof. I was wondering how long you'd get to the 9 counts of Hunter Biden. It's not about Hunter Biden, Sandy. It's about the 2 years prior to this, the cover-up that was going on. Remember, he wasn't going to be charged till the Republicans want accountability.
Hey, CJ, so we're not going to...
The fact that you guys deflect with the Milwaukee Bucks, and jobs.
CJ, really, we have a radio show, and we talk about a whole variety of things, and we are not everything about this radio show is not centered around whether Donald Trump gets elected or not, or whether Joe Biden. Our discussion of the Bucks was hardly a deflection. It was what Earl and I enjoy talking about, and which some of the listening audience might enjoy listening to. So, you know, wow.
Well,
to be honest with you, what I'm struck by with that conversational path is that everything, apparently, from that standpoint, is centered around the question of Biden versus Trump. Earl, if you and I talk about basketball, we're deflecting. This is simply an opportunity to not talk about, I guess what, the elephant in the room. The fact is, what we did talk about Hunter Biden was that, yeah, let the chips fall where they may.
Let me, because we don't have enough time to go back to the phone lines until after we take a short hiatus. But, you know, this is Sandy and Earl's show, and we'll talk about what we want to talk about.
I just think that what we should do is listen. I'm listening to CJ every time he calls, and I'm trying to understand, because I suspect that I think he reflects an outlook that people have. And what I'm struck by in that conversation was that, in his mind, our incapacity to talk about anything but Biden and Trump, or the notion that this show is totally related to politics and to presidential politics, and that everything we do is strategized around that. Like, the purpose for our conversation about the Bucks was to deflect. I mean, just think about the sort of, it's kind of a political narcissism. Okay. Everything is about politics, and anything you do will be looked at through that prism.
Well, Sandy, we've got a lot of other things we're going to be talking about this morning as well. And so, you know, we're not going to waste a lot of time worrying about what anybody else thinks from that perspective. A lot of things to talk about. It's a big world and many things going on. So hang on. Don't touch the dial. We'll be right back.
This
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Menards has everything you need to power through the cold. Check out our great selection of Masterforce outdoor power equipment. The Masterforce 20-volt cordless snow shovel is powerful, efficient, and easy to use. Get yours now for $179.99. Clearing up snow has never been easier with a Masterforce 80-volt cordless snow blower. Its brushless motor is perfect for tackling the toughest winter conditions. An 80-volt cordless snow blower is available for $589.99. Good through December 11th. Plus, a Menards gift card is always a great gift idea.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Maybe the change of seasons, the smell of chestnuts roasting on an open fire, children laughing.
This guy's got a beautiful voice.
That's Christmas.
Except this guy, I guess I'm not recognizing
this. His name is Howard Hewlett.
Can't take away from all the other holidays. But something about this time just drives me crazy, crazy. It's so hard to explain. I'm not going insane. That's Christmas.
Whoa. All right. To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Look, we were talking about the fact that Joe Biden and looks like now he's going to, pay to the piper for
Hunter Biden.
Oh, yeah, Hunter Biden. Pay to the piper for some of the things that he's done. And as well, he should. And so all the other things that was added just doesn't matter. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, the Republicans are horrible at government. They don't want government. They go into government to destroy government and destroy we the people. And I think we need to keep that in mind. Just as an example, I think for some reason we give Republicans credit, and they have a very, very good media, savvy on their side, and messaging on their side. But we give them credit for tying their shoes. We give them credit for crossing the street and not getting hit by a car. Whereas Joe Biden has actually brought this economy back. Joe Biden has actually bringing manufacturing back unions.
So Tom, let me ask you, your thoughts on Hunter Biden and what is, has now come to light.
My thoughts on Hunter Biden, which I feel is just, again, food for fodder, but My thoughts on Hunter Biden are, one, if he did whatever he did, he needs to pay the piper, right? Number two, Hunter Biden said he has no problem having a public forum, everything on the television so the American people can see, which Hunter Biden is a regular American citizen. He has not worked for government at all. But Hunter Biden has said, I will go in public and I will do a public hearing The Republicans don't want that. They'd rather make up the stories behind closed doors of what actually happens when they ask the questions. So Hunter Biden has put himself out there and has said, you know what? I will answer all of your questions, but I'll answer them in a public forum. And if the Republicans can't handle that, then that tells me that they're just trying to message this thing and they're just trying to make it into something that it's not. The guy was a crackhead. There's no doubt about that.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Julie from Franklin. Good morning to you, Julie. You say what?
Hi. Well, I initially was calling about how if someone says something enough times.
Go ahead. Go
they
ahead.
Start to believe it.
Go ahead.
We were talking about Trump.
Yeah,
and,
go ahead. You can talk about that.
Yeah. Okay. That's pretty much any politician. I mean, every time they ask Joe Biden something about Hunter and if he's ever talked to any of his business partners, and then they show pictures of him at golfing with them, and he says no, and they're lies and lies and lies, and he just keeps saying lies. So that's one example. But it's across the board. And it's unfortunate for us, you know, for Americans. You know, the Democratic Party also has used racism. And they call somebody a racist. A racist, racist, racist. Trump, racist, racist, racist. And they go on and on with it. So that's, I don't know how we stop that other than electing these people. But then, you know, nobody runs for our government that's, you know, worthwhile. I mean, like, because nobody wants that job. So I don't know how you fix that. The other thing for Tom is Republicans, I usually like what Tom says. But I got to tell you, I don't know what he's talking about. And Hunter Biden is not just it's no different than any of the Trump kids. Hunter Biden rides on Air Force One. He's, you know, goes places with the Vice President Biden and the President Biden. This is something that's not, don't tell us that, you know, he's just a, you know, citizen, and you know he is involved with the president and goes places with him, and people need to know what's going on. Secondly, for him to say now, oh, well, we can put it out in the public, I'll go publicly and we can show everything, great, that's what we want. But prior to this, when the New York Times hit the story, when we were in the election year, they hit the story of Hunter Biden. That's not going public with things, with actual facts we have. So you got to step back and take a look and stop saying Republicans this and they want to destroy government and they want to do this. We all need to wake up, we the people, we the government, as Tom says, wake up and figure out how to get some people in there that'll work for us, that really have some, like, high standards and morals. And I don't know how we do that.
Hey, Julie, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to?
Well, you said a mouthful, Julie. And the last paragraph you stated, I would agree with completely that, you know, unfortunately, politics has turned into a blood sport. And it's very hard to get the people who are worthy of public office and would be worthy of representing us to get involved with that. And many of the people who are worthy are now getting out of government and getting out of office because of the fact that it is this blood sport. But then the rest of it, you know, I think Jared Kushner should be held to the same standard as Hunter Biden with respect to influence peddling and the use of because, you know, there's plenty of evidence of that. And I think what's unfortunate is that ethics in Washington have gotten to be such a gray project, a gray area, that we just aren't getting clarity on either side. And I think what we need are those people who have clarity.
All right, hang on. We'll come to you. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.